What is going on, everybody? It's your boy, Big Dave Martell. And this isn't a full episode of The Bog. I just wanted to talk about something real quick. And I wanted to chat about this a little bit. We're going to do a whole episode all about this up here very soon when my co-host Tristan comes back. And you better believe we're going to dig all into it. But there is a meme that goes around. For those of us that are of the, I guess you could say, pagan persuasion, or you call yourself a heathen, or if you're Sedish like me, or if you are Ausatru, or if you are, you call yourself a Germanic polytheist, or whatever you want to call yourself, whatever name it is, Odinist, or whatever you want to call yourselves. By the way, if you have any questions for me, hit me up in the chat there. There is a meme that goes around, and it says, can you guys hear me okay? Let me know in the chat if you can hear and see me okay, because it seems like on my screen I'm frozen. But anyway, so this meme that goes around says, there are no Nazis in Valhalla. There are no Nazis in Valhalla. And I've always found this meme to be ridiculous. And I'll tell you guys why. Number one, the creator or the sharer of the meme is somebody that has an absolute miasmic understanding of metaphysics, of Germanic theology, and is somebody that is absolutely historically illiterate. And I'll tell you why. The meme is made with the presumption that Odin does not want Nazis in Valhalla. So, according to the lore, what is Valhalla? Some people will argue that Valhalla is an invention of a guy named Snorri Sturluson. Some people will argue that the only real afterlife is the underworld and, you know, Niflhel. And which, speaking of Niflhel, those of you guys that aren't familiar, in Germanic eschatology, eschatology being the journey of the soul and the afterlife, the belief of our ancestors, they believed that there was this place called Niflhel where you would go, and it was a place of great pain and suffering, and it was a horrible, awful place for evil, disgusting, backstabbing, ergi meaning cuck, meaning unbecoming of man, meaning feminine, meaning cowardice, ergi, E-R-G-I, ergi. That's where they go. That's where the cucks go, Niflhel. Place where serpents chew on your soul for all time, and there's pain and suffering and anguish and all that good stuff. So, their argument is that all Nazis go to Valhalla. Go to Niflhel. None go to Valhalla. Odin does not want them, is what they say. That's what this meme implies. And this is a meme gets shared around by a group of people that we call Universalists, or Unis. I call them cucks. So, let's move on. Are they right? Does Odin not want Nazis? Does Odin not want Soviets? Does Odin not want Americans? Does Odin not want Scotsmen? Does Odin not want Brits? Does Odin not want communists? Does not want nationalists? Does not want socialists? Does not want anarchists? Does not want capitalists? Does not want Democrats or Republicans? Or does he not want anybody based on political ideology? The idea that an immortal being that has watched his children, our folk, for countless thousands of generations, and has seen every outcropping and birth of new political ideologies throughout all of time rise and fall and wither away and be eroded by the tides, the ever-eroding tides of history. Why would Odin give a crap about political ideology when selecting the best of the best of martial prowess, of great heroes, of men of great bravery, of men of martial skill? Men that faced violence and combat with no fear. If you are building an elite team of commandos for the sole purpose of fighting, what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? Now, put yourself in the seat of a transcendent, immortal, interdimensional being that has watched mankind for many thousands of generations. Do you think Odin cares whether or not somebody's a Nazi or a Soviet? Or does he want the guy that is best suited for waging war in the time of Ragnarok? Hail Big Dave Martell says, I'm sorry, my computer's being weird. John Fashcroft, hail to you too, brother. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Christian brother, John Fashcroft. And many hails and many blessings to my Christian brothers out there. But I'm going to clear this up. This is for those of us that are polytheists and for, you know, Christians that are interested in the theology of their folk brothers and sisters that believe in the old customs, that follow the old customs and the old gods. So what is the purpose of Valhalla if we are going to accept this concept? The purpose of Valhalla is Odin. Vodenas, Voden, comes down from the heavens, from his golden throne, and selects the souls of the men that were the bravest, that were the most vicious, that were the most cunning, that were the best at warcraft, warfare, the craft of violence, the art of violence. And do you think when Odin, the Allfather, came down after the Battle of Stalingrad, he's like, you guys from the Reich, I don't want you guys, even though each and every one of you fought with fire in your bellies. Do you think he flew over the Soviets that lay there, ready to pass into the next world, and said, I don't want these guys. I don't like your economic policies. I didn't like you're a little too racist for me. Do you think Odin says that? Or do you think that Odin and the concept of being a warrior transcends political ideologies? And here's the thing, a lot of this stuff is put out by, you know, people that can't separate their supposed religion from their true religion, their real religion, which is materialist, humanist, liberal nonsense, modernism, postmodernist nonsense. That's their true religion. That is what they really believe in their hearts. And anything they grab, and you'll see this not just in Germanic religion. They do this when they grab onto Christianity. They do this when they grab onto Buddhism. They do this when they grab onto Hinduism, Sanatana Dharma. They do this when they grab onto Hare Krishna. They do this when they grab onto Zoroastrianism. They do this when whatever they grab onto must go through the perverting meat grinder that is their confirmation bias, their modernist worldview. That is the true religion of the wolf age, the age of Satan, the Kali Yuga. Humanism, liberalism, postmodernism. That is the true religion. So the answer, so what's the answer? Are there Nazis in Valhalla? Of course there's Nazis in Valhalla. Of course there's Soviets in Valhalla. And I'm not saying this as a guy with political, you know, with political bias right now. I'm saying this as a guy that has his heart in his faith and that is looking upon this issue from a theological standpoint, from the standpoint of a believer. What does the All-Father do? What is true to my tradition? Not as what is true to whatever modernist political theory that is out there now. And believe me, I have political thoughts. I have political ideas. I have political opinions. I do. Who doesn't? But what does a man with truth in his heart do? Or a man that strives to have truth in his heart? He takes a step back and he thinks on a transcendent level. Because that is what the gods do. Or if you're a Christian, that is what God does. That is what the divine is a transcendence. It is transcendent. It is many things. We can get into the nature of divinity. But when it comes to looking at the concept of pooling the greatest warriors, the most vicious warriors, the men that took the most lives and spilled the most blood with the most skill, do you think Odin, the Allfather, the father of our folk, who gave us our breath, who gave us our und, our eith, that shaped us, shaped the first man, Askan Embla. And I'll point out the tree. Many times in the lore is man referred to as a tree. What is tree? What does tree mean? Tree, Yggdrasil, the axis mundi, the cosmic pillar, the center of the universe from which all things are ordered. What is the root word, the etymology of the word tree? The etymology of the word tree is the Proto-Indo-European word is drevos, D-R-E-W-O, drevos. Drevos. What does this mean? How did this evolve? What did this evolve into? Drevos became the word tree. It also became the word truth. The word druid, drew, coming from the root word drevos, drew. Id, meaning knower of. The knower of the tree, the knower of truth. Dharma, Urlog. I guess you could say logos. I'm not, forgive me, my Greek theologians out there, or Neoplatonic theologians, if I'm misunderstanding that concept. Man is built from truth. That is what Odin shaped us from. So when you look at these concepts, you step back and you go into your primordial form, you go into a pure form, and you look at it devoid of earthly influence, devoid of the miasma of earthly influence, of all politics, even politics you like. And you look at it in pure mind, and you say, regardless if you're a nationalist or a leftist or a communist or whatever, look at the Battle of Stalingrad. How many men died on both sides? And think, were there or wasn't there men of both sides that ascended to the Hall of Heroes? Because does Odin want something that coincides with a fleeting political ideology that will be forgotten in the next few centuries? Or does he want something that is primordial? Something that is a truth that echoes throughout all of time, from creation till the end, when the cycle begins. What does he want? Does he want a fleeting human political ideology? Or does he want something truly primordial as a quality for the men that he chooses? Like bravery. Like truth. Like virtuousness, fearlessness. I think the answer is pretty apparent. Are there Nazis in Valhalla? Are there communists in Valhalla? Are there nationalists in Valhalla? Are there libertarians in Valhalla? Are there Democrats? Are there Republicans? Are there... It doesn't matter, because once you step onto that battlefield is a very primordial state. When you step out on that battlefield, your political ideologies melt away and you become a being of violence, a being of bravery. Now, I've never been on a battlefield. I'm not a soldier. But I know that this is the arena where men show what is primordial. This is a place and time where men don't care. I've been in survival situations. And let me tell you what, when there's floodwaters crashing down your road, pouring into your basement, you're not thinking about, oh, well, do I agree with this guy? No, you say, can this guy run? Can this guy carry stuff? Can this guy help us? Does this guy have skills? Can I trust this guy with my wife? Can I trust this guy with my kids? Can I trust this guy not to steal from me? That's what you think. Those are primordial things. Those are things that are that transcend all political ideologies that we have. So yes, there are Nazis in Valhalla. And yes, there are communists in Valhalla. Because on that Battle of Stalingrad, there wasn't Nazis and communists. That was men fighting men. Was it good? Was it beneficial to the folk? Of course not. None of the world wars have been beneficial to the folk. We haven't seen a beneficial war in probably, I can't think of one in recent times. And I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff. You guys already know. You guys already know. I don't need to say it. But that's the truth. So if anybody's got a Q&A for me, that's what I wanted to talk about. Hit me with some Q&A if you got some Q&A. Oh, yeah, let's do a quick look in the chat. Ozzy, hail to you. Hail to Ares, God of War. Hail to John Fashcroft, of course. Who else we got in here? Drake Angry. Hail. Hail to my boy Luke Mason. He's going to be coming on very soon. Man, we got so many good people in the house tonight. Many hails to all you guys. Much love. Many blessings. Hail the folk. Hail victory. Pagan Opera, hail to you. Hail to everybody. My boy Chris. Hail Jane. So anyway, I want to get into another thing that we're going to briefly talk about this for a minute, and then I'm going to hop off of here for tonight. I've been at the computer for quite a long time. I had an episode of The Bog earlier that was with me and a guy named Keith from the Neurona Society, who's a really brilliant guy that does, he runs the translation circle, and he's doing a lot of translations of ancient texts and doing the Voluspa and also doing the Havamal. So check that out as well. It's going to be in the replays. I'm trying to get it switched over to go over to YouTube, but I screwed some stuff up, so we'll see if we can get that right. So anyway, this is what I want to talk about. And this is a very interesting thing. Do I know the true meaning of the Sonnenrad? The sun wheel. He said he can't find a good explanation. So the sun wheel is a very ancient symbol. And here's the thing with a lot of symbolism and proper esoterics. Is a lot of times these symbols do not have a concise definition. So, the sun wheel. The sun wheel is something that represents, first of all, is a solar symbol, obviously. Solar symbols have a lot of layers to them. Second, this is a symbol that goes beyond just the Sonnenrad you're probably talking about is the one you see a lot in memes and stuff like that. That is the one that was developed around World War II. You know. But that symbol is very, very old. Very old. In fact, the one of the oldest ones that we found is from, I believe it's found in England, actually. It was a they call it the Alemannic sun wheel because it's found all throughout the Germanic lands. And this is, we're talking Bronze Age and maybe older that these symbols were found. And they come and they have five spokes, or they'll have eight spokes, or they'll have six spokes, or there's, you know, varying numbers. Much of the numerology or metanumerics that's associated with it is lost to us, unfortunately. But it's a symbol of solar, it's a cyclical solar symbol. It is a symbol that represents the cycle of time. It has quite a few meanings. I could do a whole show on it. We could do a whole show on it. Maybe not a whole show. But if we just look at the most authentic parts that we do know from the ancient times, we could get a pretty good show out of that. We could talk about what it means and everything like that. So actually, I'll put that down on my list. I'll tell you what, Mr. Fashcroft. We'll do a whole show talking about the sun wheel and its importance and its significance throughout history and how it is tied to our folk. We can absolutely talk about that. So Here's another thing that I wanted to talk about. This is something that's really fresh in my mind. It's something that I've been doing a lot of research into. So, let's start with the idea of prana. Or, speaking of World War II esoterics, there was some stuff that came out. They were called the Vril Society, V-R-I-L-L. This might trigger some people here, but I do not like the Vril Society's interpretation of Vril, because it kind of sidesteps a lot of authentic sources and authentic words and meanings and understandings and concepts, and kind of makes up a lot of stuff. You know, honestly, and you know, maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they couldn't find it. Maybe the manuscripts weren't available, so they just built what they could. I'm not saying they had bad intentions. But what I'm saying is that we now know the true understanding of the universal life force. The soul stuff. And this comes from the concept of breath. So once again, let's go back to Indo-European. Actually, let's take a step back and let's go into, because this is going to be interesting for the Christians as well. This is going to be interesting for the Christians as well. Give me a minute to explain all this. So, let's go look at the Eddas. Let's go look at Valuspa. So, Valuspa. Odin, Vili, and Ve. Odin, Hónir, Lothur. The three brothers. Create man. Ask an Embla. Hónir gives Óðr, which is your consciousness, your forward consciousness. Lothór gives Lau, Lati, Litur, Gota. What does that mean? That is your physical form. That's your blood flow. That is your body. That is your flesh. That is good color. That is your subtle body. That is your physical earthly form. And your earthly ethereal form as well. We know that because we can say that there are accounts where they described Lithurgoda, guys that had their godly form, their goodly form, their godly form, and they were viewed as, they actually described them as burnt birds, birds with no feather, flying around, spirits, subtle bodies, psychic bodies. But what does Odin, what does the Allfather give us? Und. O-N-D, und. What does that word come from? That is the holy breath. That is the universal life spirit. Hindus will understand it as prana or atman. You know, the Romans would have understood it as anima. Anima. The Greeks would have understood it as pneuma. Buddhists know it as chi. The universal life force. What did the Germanics know about it? Well, let's follow the trail of language. Und, in Old Norse. Und. O with umlauts, and und. Und comes from the word and, anda. Anda comes from the word atham, which is where the concept of ether, or aether, comes from. Aether comes from the word atham, which comes from the word etmen. Etmen went east, became atman, developed into prana. Etmen became anima, became pneuma, became atham. Atham. This is the breath. This is the life force. This is something that's going to be very interesting to the Christians in the chat. Hail to them. The first Saxon kings, the first Christian Saxon kings, as many of you know, they named themselves things like Æthelred, Æthelwulf, Æthelbert, Æthelbecht, Æthelbjorn, so on and so forth. Why did they take this prefix of Æthel? Æthel, Æth, Æthem. meaning their claim to kingship not only came from the old gods, their folk gods, their father's gods, but it came with their power of breath. Which in the Eddas we understand that Odin is the Galdr smith, the smith of song, the creator of song. One of his names is Omi, he who makes the beautiful sound. Where else do we hear Omi? Om. Om. Is that a connection? Sounds like it. So what is this? What is the breath? What is the holy breath? And what does it mean to us now? Atham, Und, Anima, Prana. Even the early Christian kings, who were described to have great presence and great breath and great voice, great projection. What does this mean? Well, it means it's something that was very deep into our culture as a folk for many thousands of years, and it's something that we forgot. And it wasn't a lot of internet spurgy pagans will say, oh, well, the church took it away from us. No. Church didn't take it away from us. The early church fathers knew about this. The early church fathers, their claim to kingship was this. Was the master of breath, of Atham, of the universal life force. I'll tell you who took it away from us. Materialists. Guys that tried to enforce the scientific method on everybody. Guys that became, you know, atheists. Those guys. Modernists. We're talking John Locke. We're talking Thomas Hobbes. The Enlightenment era. Enlightenment. You always know that the vampires always name themselves the opposite of what they really are. Enlightenment. My dick. John Fashcroft says, amen, with a diamond. God bless you, sir. Many hails. Thank you for the diamond, sir. So, what is Atham? What is Und? What is this? We already covered it's the universal life force. It is the breath that goes within you and comes out. It is what connects all aspects of your being, your consciousness, your soul, as well as your physical body, your subtle body. It is the river that flows between all and animates. It is what animates. Someone says a diamond. Enlightenment was garbage. That's right, John Fashcroft. Enlightenment was garbage. Enlightenment was probably the most devastating thing to happen to us in the past 5,000 years. That's truly what was wrong. Did Christians and pagans of yesteryear have issues and have wars and fight? And was there some bloody, nasty stuff that happened? Yeah. But what buried the truth? What destroyed it? Humanism. Humanism. Liberalism, materialism. These things destroyed it. And there were many thinkers that came out with so many cool ideas about the ether. Even guys like Nikola Tesla believed in the ether. In fact, he claimed that's where he drew all of his ideas from. They asked him, Nikola Tesla, why are you such a how do you come up with all these genius ideas? He says, they're not my ideas. They're not my ideas. I'm just a conduit, and I receive them. They're transmissions, and I receive them from the ether. That's what he said. He said he drew them from the folk consciousness, from the Atham, from Und. From his soul connection to the folk consciousness. Some people will, science will describe this as called morphogenesis. I actually have a morphogenic fields. I actually did a video on morphogenic fields on my YouTube. Talking about morphogenic fields. Very fascinating stuff. Luke says he believes in ether so hard. Not only do I believe in ether, I try to live ether. Because ether isn't just that kind of abstract, obscure understanding that they had in the Victorian eras and stuff like that. This is a concept that is very real to our cousins in the Dharmic traditions. This is a concept that is very, that was extremely real to the Greeks and the Romans. And in fact, the Greeks in Numa, they would do breathing exercises for their pancration tournaments. They believed warriors were great masters of Numa, of breath. They believed this 100%. They lived by it. They lived by it. And who can say that we are better men than the Greeks, the ancient Greeks? We haven't seen, we might have had, let me ask you something when it comes to the Greeks. When was the last time we had a mind as great as Plato or as Aristotle? You know, I mean, when was the last time we came up, maybe Nietzsche, maybe Heidegger, maybe Hegel, maybe some of the German thinkers around that time, but even they had their flaws. And even they were borrowing from Plato and Aristotle. So, what is Atham and how can you live it? How can you live it? This is something that's universal for all of our folk. You know, Christian or polytheist. Doesn't matter if you pray to God and to Christ or if you pray to the Eye Seer. You know? Doesn't matter. Because this is a universal principle. This is a universal spiritual principle that our folk knew for many thousands of years. That's easy. The great Stephen Molyneux. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to say anything bad about Molyneux. You know, obviously there's points of disagreement. He's a smart guy. I think he thinks he's a little bit smarter than what he really is. But I'm not going to say, I don't want to say anything bad about him. Because unless he did something really terrible, then I might not like him. So anyway, back to how do we live Atham? This is what I have been doing in my studies. So all of us need work. All of us need work when it comes to our health, when it comes to our disciplines, because we're coming out of the darkness, man. We're coming out of the darkness. We're coming out of the darkness of the Wolf Age, of the Kali Yuga, whatever you want to call it. Man, we're coming at a time where it's a cultural norm to be addicted to pornography. It is a cultural norm to be addicted to pills. It is a cultural norm to be addicted to alcohol. It is a cultural norm to be obese. These are cultural norms. And all of us have work to do to get away from these poisons. It's not easy, man. We're coming out of this together, man. We're marching out of this together. We're healing together. We really are. It's not easy. That's why, you know, when somebody hits me up and they say, hey, man, I screwed up. I just, you know, watched some porn. Or they say, man, I've been like really screwed. It's like, man, I'm kind of fat. I need to get back into the gym. I need to get over some of these injuries. I need to work out. I need to slim down. I need to, especially I'm on camera. Yeah, I could lose some of this. But we all have healing to do, man. We all have stuff to do. So when I hear a guy that says, man, I screwed up. I was watching porn or whatever. And I say, you know, I don't get it. You degenerate. I say, man, you admitted it. You know what I mean? That means that you identify that it's wrong. You know what I mean? Guys that say, man, I relapsed. I relapse, and you know, I got a lot of people that you know, hit me up for a lot of this kind of stuff, and I do my best to be the best kind of, you know, friend that I can when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Look out for my brothers and sisters the best that I can. And they say, hey man, I screwed up. I'm an alcoholic. I relapsed last night or last week or whatever. I popped some Percocets or whatever. I don't jump on them. I don't grind them up. I tell them, you know, this is a world of darkness. You're not going to, this isn't a victory overnight. You know what I mean? You're not going to become a jacked, clean, you know, father of 12 with a 100K in the bank overnight. That's not how this works. That's not how healing works. Healing takes time, and healing takes generations. So this perfect man, the Ubermensch that you see in your head, it's good to have a hero, a heroic figure to strive for. Hero worship is wonderful. But also be realistic. You know? You can't set the bar too high. You have to realize that we are fighting some of the most contagious diseases with addiction and all of this that mankind has ever seen. This is stuff that preys on us on a level that we can't even fathom. Praying to your strongest worldly instincts, your most reptilian animalistic instincts, and it invigorates them all at once. So if you're a guy like I'm talking about, or a girl that has had struggles in the past, and you're working on being a cleaner, stronger, healthier, happier, more enlightened person, and you screw up a little bit, don't destroy yourself over it. Don't give up. And if anybody around you says, you're a scumbag, degenerate piece of shit, get rid of that person. Get rid of that person. Because that person isn't saying that to you because they care about you. That person is saying that to you to fulfill their own needs. Because they themselves are broken. They themselves are rotten. And they want to feed that. They want to feed that black hole that's inside of them with your energy. Don't do that. John says potholes are part of the drive. That's right. That's right. And, you know, Big Dave, I'm not an angel now. And in my past, I was a scumbag young man. I was. You know what I mean? I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial. I'm 32. But I grew up, this is before anybody started criticizing these things. I'll tell you, like, about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when I first started coming out criticizing the use of pornography, people jumped on me. I had no allies. And it's wonderful hearing how awakened people are to these poisons and how receptive they are to now spiritual messages, to spiritual growth. It's a beautiful, wonderful sign. So back to the holy breath, back to the life essence, the God essence, back to Und, back to Atham. How do you invoke this in your everyday life? Well, first of all, with what you eat. Because think about it like this. If you have Atham, if you have breath, that cow has breath too. That pig has breath. That chicken has breath. Them potatoes got breath. Them tomatoes got breath. Them green beans. That wheat. Everything lives on this. So, what is going to give you the best essence, the best Atham? Is it going to be a McDouble? Or is it going to be a steak? A fresh steak from a local butcher? You know, from cattle that graze and are ethically raised and eat grass and not corn. A real cow. Old school way of raising cows. And it's fresh cut. And it's as closest to the form of the cow as possible. What is going to have better Atham? What is going to have better Und? What is going to have better life force that you ingest and becomes part of you? Is it going to be that McDouble that has grinded up mystery meat and chemicals and fake cheese and fake bread and all that crap? Or is it going to be that steak that you just pulled out, salt, pepper, hot on the grill? Rare. That's how I like it. Sometimes I'll eat at Pittsburgh, man. I don't even care. Those of you guys that aren't familiar with Pittsburgh, ripping hot, just sear it on the outside. Still cool. That's a little crazy for some people. And I slice it real, real thin. Whew, melts. It's like a piece of chocolate cake. Delicious. So anyway, Luke says, soy doesn't have any atham. Yeah. I'm not an expert on soy, but I do know the soy boy meme, and I don't like those people. So we'll go with you, Luke. No, we'll say don't. But when you ingest this food, what has good life force? What gives good life force? Obviously, what is closest to that original form of that animal or that plant. What has better und? What has better atham? The perfectly ripe, bright red tomato that you buy off of the rack at your local super grocery store. It was plucked, you know, for perfection somewhere like Peru, put in a box truck filled with gas to artificially ripen it, brought it to the store. Oh, perfect. They wax it, all kinds of weird stuff. You know, dyes, whatever. Looks like it's out of a cartoon or a TV show. The perfect tomato. Or that big, ugly, juicy, fresh, ripe tomato that you just plucked off of the plant that's in your garden that you have developed a relationship with, that you have cared for, that you have put your life energy into, that now you go out early, rain's going down, it's a little bit chilly, your feet are a little bit cold, they're getting muddy and wet, and you walk out. This is my tradition, because this is what I think about when I think about the most... the own that I receive. I go out and it's, you know, sometimes it's early in the morning, sometimes it's at night, whatever, sometimes it's the middle of the day, and I go out barefoot walking through the soil and I pluck the first tomato, the big, ugly, juicy tomato, and I put some salt on it, a little bit of salt, and I take a bite right there outside. Sometimes there's dirt in it. I don't even care. Because you know why? Because I have a relationship with that plant. Not only do I have a relationship with that plant, for many, you know, sometimes they're heirloom seeds that I have raised, that I have put my life force into, my own, my atham, into these seeds, into these plants for many of their generations. We've developed odal. We've developed an inheritance. We've developed a bond, a reciprocatory bond between me and these plants. That's my life force going into these plants. I have a relationship with this earth. I have a relationship with this. I put my energy into it. So what has more owned? This tomato that just popped right off my plant that I'm eating right there? Or them fake tomatoes that I just got at the store that are full of dyes and that are falsely... It's so hard to cut it open. It's like hard as a rock. Even if it's not even in the fridge, it's just hard. Has no flavor. But that tomato right out of your garden, man. You put it on the table... It just goes through like butter. It falls apart. You can barely hold it together. You put it on your sandwich, and there's just so much juice, man. Let me tell you, two pieces of bread, toast, a little bit of mayonnaise or olive oil or something, tomato, basil, salt, pepper, off the chain. There's something very spiritual about that. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you they'll have, like, these, like, big, you know, I saw these spirits come to me, and blah, blah, and they have like, they're like, I'm a spiritual person, look at my dream catchers and all. That's not what spirituality is. Spirituality is much more subtle than that. It's much more subtle. Let me tell you, when I take that tomato off that plant, and I take a bite, and the juices roll down, get in my beard, and it gets a little nasty, my feet are a little cold, and they're wet, and they're dirty, and I take that bite and that shocking, acidic, delicious, bright flavor of that fresh tomato that's just like kind of warm because it's outside. You take a bite and it just it kind of shocks you a little bit, and the feeling goes down your spine, and you swallow it, goes down, and it's just nourishing on many levels. That's a spiritual experience. It's a very subtle one. It's a very basic one. But there is not a spiritual experience that is not important. There's not a spiritual tradition that isn't important, to the very small, to the very large. Because we know that everything is a reflection of another thing. Everything that is in the heavens is a reflection Everything that is here is a reflection of what is in the heavens. Everything we do is a reflection of something else. Everything is connected. Everything is determined. Everything is part of a web of fate. Everything is to get. There's no such thing as autonomy. You don't exist in an autonomous vacuum. That's more Enlightenment era lies. You never have. Luke Mason says, as above, so below. Yeah, that's what the Hermetics say. That's what the Hermetics say, and that's true. As above, so below. That's something that rings throughout, you know, Neoplatonists. There's guys in the Orthodox Church that talk about that. We talk about it. Everybody talks about that because that's just universally true. It's universally true. So, oh, man, I've been going on for almost an hour here. I got to shut it down soon. But if anybody has any Q&A for me, hit me in the chat. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. But finally, with Atham, do your breathing, man. The ancient people breathe. We breathe very shallow compared to them. We have these really shallow breaths. You know why? Because our body's under constant stress. Constant stress. Too much stimulus. You know, metaphysical stress. Cultural stress. Everything kind of stress. We're stressed about everything. Stressed about your car payment, stressed about your house, stressed about your family, stressed about your job, stressed about your shoes, stressed about your internet, stressed about your electricity, stressed about your neighbor, stressed. What are you not stressed about? You are being crushed from all angles by stress. So what does that result into? A constant shallow breathing. Even when you sleep, you're shaped by that stress, that pressure. Take a step back. Take a step back, like we were talking about earlier. Take a step back. Let yourself breathe, man. I'm going to give you guys a breathing exercise. This is what I do. So, what you want to do, and you guys can go watch my videos. I do talking about the throat singing and stuff like that. We can get into that. But this is just breathing. This is just breathing. To maximize your Atham, to maximize your Ond. To get started doing it. Every morning or night or whenever you have some time. You breathe in through your nose very slowly. So slow that if you put a feather in front of your nose, the feather would not move. Till your lungs are filled all the way to max capacity. Then let it out through your mouth. And do the same thing in through your mouth. So slow that if you had a feather in front of your mouth, it wouldn't move. Fill it up, your whole lungs up. And then, as a third time, the next time, let it slow the whole way. Feather. Like there was a feather there that couldn't move. That slow. In and out. You can do any sort of variation of these. I like to do it nine times. But it's important to fill your lungs to max capacity every time. And do it. And afterwards, it doesn't matter if you're a pagan or a heathen or if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, after you're done with this, say your prayers, man. Do your prayers. Do your Hail Marys, whatever you do. You know, also truer, heathens, Sedians, you know. Whatever you got. Chris says, breathing with the stomach diaphragm rather than the chest is a good idea too. Absolutely. Luke Mason says, chi follows thought. That's correct. It does follow that thought. Because chi is a Buddhist invention that they got from Hinduism, that Hinduism got from Indo-Europeans. Us. Sorry, dog. All the Westerners with the yin-yangs talking about chi and crystals and all that. Our Germanic ancestors had that on lockdown thousands of years before. The Romans, the Greeks, all had this on lockdown. All had this. That was in the books. They already knew. So, improve your Atham. Ingest good Atham. Don't poison your atheism with pornography and meaningless entertainment, crap music. Listen to things that fulfill you. Listen and jest. Because here's the thing. I know folks that are fitness freaks that will only eat granola and fresh veggies and like chicken breast and like they're in great physical shape. And then they turn around and they listen to crap music and they watch reality TV. Makes no sense. You want to aim for a state of being that is healthy on all levels. All levels. So, that's what I got for tonight, folks. If there's any questions, hit me in the chat. Hope you guys enjoyed this little talk. This is all off the top of my head. This was not a planned thing. I just figured I'd go live and give you guys a little something because earlier on the bog, I think it was at a weird time and a lot of folks didn't get a chance to tune in, but finally, and I'll tell you guys another thing about Atheism real quick before we shut down. An old head friend of mine, colleague of mine. He was the bog pretty recently. His name's Dave. He runs the combat circle in Nerona Society. I'm sure you guys are familiar with some of this stuff from Threema, the Germanic martial arts system. But ever since we've been doing the research into Atheism, into Ond, a lot of the martial arts guys have been picking it up, you know? And Mr. Dave, who's an older guy, who's a guy that spent a few years as a firefighter, has burnt lungs, has messed up lungs. He's an old head guy. I believe he's in his late 50s. Maybe he's in his 60s. I don't want to say. No offense, Dave, if I get your age wrong. But, you know, for his age, he's in great shape. He's in great shape. He's very mentally alert and stuff like that. But he's got some messed up lungs. He's got some health problems and some comorbidities. He's been practicing his atheism, practicing his breathing. Well, my boy Dave, who I love him very much, great old guy, tons of wisdom. I'm very, very blessed to have such a wise, awesome old head guy. Plus, he's from Pennsylvania, too. He's one of my boys. He's originally from Philly. But he's been practicing his atheism. Well, over the last few weeks, he got COVID. He got it. And he said it tore him up. It tore him up. He had to lay on his stomach to breathe because he felt like he was suffocating. He's like, he felt like he was dying. It's a nasty, nasty virus. Nasty virus. He said that there were days that he doesn't even remember. He was that sick. He was just kind of like in a coma. That's how sick he was. He said if it wasn't for his atheism, if it wasn't for his breathing practices, his spiritual breathing, he said that he believes he would have died, that COVID would have taken him. That's for real. This isn't just hokey stuff. This is ancestral knowledge. This is ancestral health. This is why our ancestors were such big, steely, awesome, badass people that sailed the world and conquered everything. Kicked a lot of ass and, you know. There's a reason for that. It's not all because of Atheism. Obviously, there's a lot of other factors in there as well, but these were people that breathed deeply, that had great control of the God essence, great control of the Ond. They very much understood it. So, that's all I got for this evening. I saw people enjoyed the stream, and I'm very, very gracious, man. I'm very blessed to have great people tune into my stuff, man. I'll tell you what, I have the most positive, wonderful audience, and I've had this for years. I'm so blessed, to have a great audience, great friends, great wise older dudes around me. I'm just surrounded with wonderful people, good souls, good hearts, good minds, great people. I'm a very blessed individual. Which, by the way, speaking of being blessed, I'm going to announce this here. My third child is on the way. Number 3. Rocky Sullivan asks, when do I usually stream? Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. The ball comes on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Awesome stream, Luke. Thank you very much, sir. Hail to Verbo. That's my dude right there. So, got a baby on the way. Hail to the new baby. Hail to you guys. No booze tonight, just water. So, yeah, number three. Big Daddy Dave on number three. Wonderful news. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Wonderful, wonderful. So many kind words. Much love to you guys, man. You guys are great. So anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. I'm taking it in. I'm going to go chill with my fam and hang out. And my oldest, he's playing Minecraft. I never let my kids get too crazy with like games and stuff like that. I love games. Like, I do like games. Everybody here loves it. If you're a millennial, you love games. All right? I made the mistake of letting my son try Minecraft. So that's all I hear about. That's all he's trying to do is hit me up with Minecraft. So, hail 1964, hail John, hail Chris, hail Luke, hail Noctis. Just donated 3 lemons. Thank you very much. Hail Chris. If I missed anybody, if anybody gave donos that I missed, I'm very sorry, man. I get it talking and I don't pay attention. So if you gave donos and I missed it, shout out to you. I'm going to go up, check, make sure I didn't miss any donos. Give me 1 second here. I already got John with his diamonds. He's the man. Man, John is the fucking coolest. Sorry for the F word. I'm not supposed to be saying F word anymore. Lemons from Bear. Oh, man, thank you so much. Got more lemons coming in. Many blessings. Okay, what else we got here? I'm going to take a quick look through the chat. See what else we got. It's going so fast. Wonderful. Verbo says, have a good night, Dave. Hail the Big Dave clan. Hail to you too, Verbo. It's my brother right there. Much love for him and his family and his wife, man. They're awesome people. Awesome people. So many awesome people. 64 says, the old school metal stream was awesome. Thank you very much. We got more coming. I might do one tomorrow. Maybe. Congrats, Dave, from Verbo, from Diamond. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm, man. I feel good. Big Dave feels good. I got a good life. I got a good family. I got good friends. But anyway, before I keep yakking on and on and on and on, much love to you guys, man. Many blessings. Many hails. Hail to gods. Hail to folk. Hail victory. I'll see you guys next time. Take care. Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern.